it's hard to express myself tonight to tell you how happy I am to be here and to afford the privilege that God has given me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have been preaching the gospel for about 55 years, and a greater blessing God never bestowed upon anybody that allowed me to preach the gospel for that length of time. And I thank God for it every day that I live. I wouldn't take $5 million for the experience and what it's meant to me and my family in learning the truth and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for that many years. I told Wilma when we got married, we was talking about a while ago, that if God would just let me preach till I'm 85, well, he has, I'm past it. Now I'm asking him for a little more time. I've still got some messages I haven't preached yet. And we go over and over the Word of God. The most powerful source that we have in our possession is the Word of God. And I'm sorry to say, it's not being preached today like it was 50 years ago. It's sad. It's sad. We're seeing so many changes today. We're seeing religion that's just turned into an entertainment society throughout the religious world. And even around the town of Liberty we live in, I couldn't tell you how many new names of churches that's come up around there in the last 2 years. It's just unreal. Unreal. And people, you know, it's kind of like if you write a check on somebody else's bank account, the way people are treating God. We're going to set up a religious organization with God not being the authority of it, not God's way of doing it, but then we're going to charge the result to him. It's like writing a hot check. It's like writing a hot check that we're going to do something like we want it done, but we're going to charge the results to God. We're still going to heaven. And we hear people, you hear it in the news and everywhere else. Now, anybody that dies, well, oh, they're up in heaven looking down at us. People have never obeyed the gospel, never listened to the truth, and had nothing to do with it. Well, that's the mentality we're dealing with in society today. And you can talk to them about God's plan. As far as they're concerned, God don't have a plan. They establish whatever religion they want on what they think is right. We were driving along the other day coming home from service that Sunday, and there was a long stretch of limousine, half as long as this building's wide. And it's a new religion started right where we're at. What was that name of that? The sanctuary. The sanctuary, they call it. And have a name on everything. I guess they go get people. I don't know. But it's this one time, right? And I saw the other day, the big growth now is the cowboy church. The cowboy church. And what God has to say about church has nothing to do with people. They have nothing to do with them. But I want us to think tonight, if we really respect the Word of God as we should. Now, you know what we're seeing happen today is not new. No, it's not new at all. We can go back through the history of mankind, and God established a covenant with people, a law with people, and he made a deal with people that as long as you keep my covenant, you will be successful. And how long did they keep it? Maybe a year. Then they'd go right back where they'd gone. Then God would let them go into captivity again and be punished beyond imagination. Then he'd finally go in and he'd bring them out again and establish his truth with them again. It wouldn't last. Wasn't long until they'd start doing the religious things like they wanted to do. And back in captivity they go. This happened over and over and over. And I think of a passage over in the book of Judges. Now this passage is in Judges 21, 25, in Judges 7 and verse 6. And another one, I'm getting that where it's at, and it's almost the same wording. So it's the last verse in the book of Judges. It said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is hundreds of years ago. But he's still dealing with human beings. just like when he was dealing with Adam and Eve. He put them in the Garden of Eden, which of a life was perfection. And everything will be just real fine. God said, unless you eat of the fruit of that one tree, the tree of knowledge. And he might as well wave a red flag in their face. They couldn't wait till they did it. And when they did it, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and all of the suffering and the heartache that we suffer today come about by the sin of Adam and Eve when they ate the forbidden fruit. That's when sin came into existence. And man has suffered for it, and God said they would. God said they would. He said, you're going to suffer for this. And we have. The whole human race has suffered over it. But we live in a time like the one that they were living in. And the proper view in our society is that this is the ideal situation. We're even told that what is right for one may not be right for others. They've got a writer, you've heard me mention his name before, I don't like to mention it because I don't like the guy, in the Kansas City Star. And he can write some of the biggest bunches of hogwash I've ever heard in my life. He has got a deal going now, people meeting together, everything, the Muslims, the Christians, and everybody said, oh, this is the way it should be. This is the way it should be. Mix every kind of religion up that it suits everybody. Well, you know, that's impossible. That's the reason they got all the different kind of religion, because God's religion didn't suit the people. Because if people could have been satisfied with what God gave them, there wouldn't have been any of these religions. I read in the paper Saturday about the Muslim religion, but talking about why people was not just opening open arms to them. Nice, gentle, loving people. Well, they haven't gone back and read their Quran. They haven't gone back and read what kind of a man Muhammad was. He was a murderer, he was a thief, and he did everything, and anybody that didn't convert to his type of religion, they killed him. And they can't deny that. That's in the history books. It was written in their Quran. Everything ungodly you can think of. They'd go in and they would just rape a nation, take all of the goods that people had, and people didn't agree with them. They just assassinated them. That's what it was built on. They say, well, there's a few radicals. Well, if knowing what it was built on, how can you build something good with that kind of a foundation to start on? And yet, this is the mentality that we're dealing with today. But is there really a way to know whether a thing is right or wrong? Is there an objective standard by which our actions are measured, which will tell us without fail and which is always correct? In other words, how may I know a thing is right? Do I read after Muhammad? They say he was the best top prophet of all. Well, he wasn't a prophet at all. Or do we read after all these people that have started these other religions? I remember we had a neighbor when I was a young man. Well, I was only 10, 11, 12 years old then. And there was an old gentleman neighbor there. He took a great interest in me. And he got me a book to read, and I remember now. It was about John Wesley. And as far as he was concerned, it was the greatest man ever lived. Of course, he was a Methodist preacher. And John Wesley started the Methodist movement. And John Wesley was pretty close to the truth when he started it in England. But he didn't go all the way. He didn't let God's word regulate him. Because he come up with the idea that you're saved by faith only. Just recognize Jesus, Son of God, you're saved. And you can't fall away. And you know, that doctrine has been made the big religious organization grow in this country because it's something that you can have. They tell you you've got salvation, and after you once express your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, there's no way under heaven that you can be lost. And that's the way the big religions have grown, when they're teaching something that you can have a lot and put in nothing. Put in nothing. They'll say, well, I know I'm a Christian. I know I've been forgiven. I know I have a relationship with God. Have you ever obeyed the gospel? Well, what's that? Have you ever been baptized? Oh, you don't think baptism is necessary. And you know where they got this idea from? The leading religious leaders of the movements in this country. Then comes that idea of themselves. They got it from their leaders. Got it from their leaders. I've heard them. I've listened to a lot of them on TV and radio that they'll tell you that you, if you once confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there's no power on the face of earth could make you be lost. Well, why did, you know, the Bible is made up of the Gospels, and then the book of Acts is how the church was established, and all the epistles from their own is teaching us how to live a godly life, and teaching us that if we don't live a godly life, we'll be eternally lost. And I know it would be a real bargain if we could live a life that is, well, we might say for the devil, and then know that we was going to be saved. Listen, let me just give you one passage. This is one of hundreds of them. Over in Hebrews, the third chapter, the writer of Hebrews said here, as he was talking to these people here because he was going back to the Old Testament law, he says, the verse 12 says, hey, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now you notice what he called them? He called them their brethren. They were members of the Lord's church, and they were going back on ungodly practice. He said, you had better be careful. He said, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, if someone has departed from the living God after once being saved from their past sin, and then they turn back and have an evil heart of unbelief, do you think you'll go to heaven? Paul didn't think so. Because he knew that they could be lost. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, passage you've heard over and over and over, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name have cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That was Jesus talking. I've heard people say, well, why do you say things like that? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And there's no way for anyone could go to heaven without obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the writer of the Hebrew letter said in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, he was talking to brethren here that was beginning to fall away from what they obeyed when they obeyed the gospel, going back to the old Ten Commandment law. And he used an example here in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. He said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those that would obey him. Not would just recognize him, but that would obey him. It's so plain if people would just open their minds. Just open their minds. And you know, I don't care who you have a Bible study with. There's one thing that I always try to make an agreement with someone. I was telling Damon a while ago in trying to study with somebody. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And we just present the Word of God. We're not really that important. We're no important, more important than the paper the Bible's written on. We're just one of the tools in the process. Make sure that if someone asks us something, that we give them book, chapter, and verse. Book, chapter, and verse. I was just telling Damon, I can tell you this, because it's a credit to all of you here. A few months back, I don't know how far back it was. I told Damon one day up here, I've got one of your books on why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I was studying with a man in Jefferson City. He just married lady that I knew, and I was against her marrying him to start with. He wasn't a member of the church. But anyway, they did. So I was corresponding with him, sending him material, and I sent him that book. He read that book. I mean, he read it all. And they called one day, there's going to be in town. And I met with him at the church building. We studied for about 2 or 3 hours. What questions have you got? And he had a lot of them. And we answered every question. And I answered every question with the scripture, not what I thought. It's like I told Damon, I won't discuss opinions with people because mine's probably not as good as yours. And I discussed that with him. We'd gone for about 3 hours. I said, do you finally write? I said, if you got any more questions? He said, no. He said, you've answered them all. I said, do you understand? He said, yes. And I said, well, I've got a question. He said, what is it? I said, why don't you obey the gospel, be baptized into the Lord right today? He looked at his wife, and he said, I think I will. And about that time, all of her family walked into the building. They was going, so they saw if they're all come in. I invited them in, all to come in and sit down. I said, you got here just in time. And he obeyed the gospel. And she was telling me the other day that he works like a Turk in the church now. And so you had something to do with that. You had something to do with that. But I've also used that book, give it to people that refuse to read it too. But when you find somebody's got a good and honest heart, then we can teach them. We can teach them. But we've got to, you know, what we find here, just like Jesus said over in Mark, the 7th chapter, in verse 7 through 9. He said, talking about the people here that was going back and wouldn't listen to lead Jesus. He says, howbeit, then verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold a tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. He said, obeying God don't mean any more to you than being a dishwasher. Don't mean anything else to you. But listen as he goes ahead. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. That's what you're up against in everybody nearly you'll talk to, traditions of men, and not the Word of God, and not the Word of God. And we can't know what we're teaching. And when we hear people, I've read this after a man that was in the pulpit in a big Church of Christ congregation in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, it's a misnomer to call it Church of Christ because they're gone just as denominational as me. And here's what he said. He said, I can't believe God will condemn a person just because he has not been baptized. He said, I can't believe that. Well, it's not because he hasn't been baptized, because he wouldn't subject himself to obeying God is what it's about. Because he wouldn't obey God, he hadn't really given himself to God. When we obey the gospel of Christ, we give our life and ourselves to God. And he's given us a way that we know how to do what he wants us to do. And then I've heard people say, well, I can't believe that God would condemn us if we were sprinkled instead of immersed. I've heard that many times. Sprinkling is not baptism. That's the reason. And it's not the act. It's the ideal of rebelling against God's command and setting up our own laws. And then it come on down later on in years. Then you got where now most of the churches now that I teach you don't have to even be baptized. Not necessary. Well, who made that law? Man did. God didn't. Now, Jesus was baptized. He had no sin. He was perfect. But he did to leave us an example in obedience to God. And you know, there's not any part of the plan of salvation that's taught more on in the Bible than baptism. It explains it. You can draw a picture of it. In Romans 6 and 3 and 4 it says, we're baptized into the death of Christ. We go down in the watery grave of baptism and we arise to walk in a newness of life, a new creature. We have crucified that old man of sin in that very act, because that's the last step in the plan of salvation. It's not that people can't understand it. Paul said, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, he said, for by faith you're all the children of God, for many of you have been baptized into Christ, has put on Christ. These are passages that people rebel against. And these are passages that you can read this to a 5 or 6 year old and they'll understand it. It's because people rebel against God's word. And most of the religious organizations, all but the Church of the Lord, they're built on a false premise of what man said. I've got several copies of various creed books, some of the major denominations, and it's built upon what man said and not what God said. Let me ask you a question. People will talk about what God wants us to do, and they all want to use God, but they don't want to do it the way He wants it done. Now, I've heard people say, well, we couldn't all get along and study the Bible. Well, yes, we can. If we can't, we're calling God a liar, we're calling Jesus a liar, and we're calling the apostles a liar. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, listen to what Paul said. Verse 10, beginning. He said, now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You know the first thing he said there? He said that you speak the same thing. And people set up the pulpit. I've heard all of them, a lot of them say, well, you can't understand it, but we'll explain it to you. When they tell you that, they're getting ready to pawn a lie off on you. Because if they can understand you, what these people do, that's the reason they want to be called reverend and most holy, right reverend, all this, to elevate them above the rest of us ignoramuses, you know, we don't understand it. Well, I'll tell you what, understanding is the key in the Bible. The word understand or understanding is used some 340-something times in the Bible. And the word knowledge is used over 300 times in the Bible. How do we acquire knowledge through study? Well, why do you study? That we understand so we can have knowledge. You know, we teach that in schools. But the Bible, then we all seem like we've lost our mind when we get to it. We just wiggle it around any way we want to do it, whether God says no or not. And yet Jesus himself, right before he ascended back to God, in John 17 and verse 21, he prayed to God that all of his people would be one. That they would all be one. I started in John 17 and verse 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify, that means set them apart. Well, if the word was something they could understand, how could they be sanctified by it? Then as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, which is the word. Neither pray I for these alone, his disciples with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that's what we do. We believe on it through the word that the apostles gave to us under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he goes ahead. Here's what he's praying for, that they all may be one, as thou art, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How much plainer could it be? And yet so much division in the religious world is because they will not use this right here as a standard of authority. Did you ever think what a chaotic mess we'd be in our society? You know, we know that when we come to measurements, 12 inches is a foot. 3 feet's a yard, and so on. What would happen if we all decided we was going to change that? We didn't like that, so we're going to make a foot's 8 inches, or a foot's 10 and a half, or a yard is 27 and a half inches. We all just do our own thing on that. Do you ever think how chaotic that would be? Or if we didn't like the way the numbers had, go through your book and say, where it go to 5 and say number 237, put 213. Then somebody else put another number on it. Well, that's what they do with the Bible. They convolute the Bible the same way. And you see what a mess that would be in. Did you go down here and drive down the highway and you'd be going over the speed limit and they pull you over. And the cops say, you know, that was 55 miles an hour. You say, oh, no, that was 37. And you say, no, it's 55. You say, well, I look, my book of measurements here says it's 37 miles an hour. Do you think you get by that? I don't think so. I don't think so. But yet, that's the way we treat the Word of God. That's the way we treat the Word of God. Proverbs 12, verse 5, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Jeremiah 10:23 said, O Lord, I know that's not in man to even do his own guidance, to guide himself. It's not in him. We can't do it. We need God. If we're going to get rid of our sins and stay rid of our sins, it's going to be through the grace of God, not because of our brilliance or not because of what we think or not because of what we want it to think. It's going to be because of God's word and God's directions. We find over in 1 Corinthians 18. We're going to read about 7 passages here. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And that's right. All of these people that's preaching something that's a false doctrine and trying to make Jesus responsible for it, that's foolishness. That's pure foolishness. It's not going to help them one iota. And he said, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in faith and faith. The powers and the word of God is the most powerful source in the world. And we can obey that word and have our sins obliterated. You realize, I'm certain everybody here does, that when we obeyed the gospel of Christ, that according to God's promise, he wiped away every sin that we'd committed in our life. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. You know, this was the thing, you may have heard me use this illustration again of before. Before I obeyed the gospel, I was attending service just to keep peace in the family. I had no intention of learning anything. And then I heard a preacher preach one day, and I thought he was way out of line. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching it just straight as an arrow. And so secretly, I got my Bible and started studying. I said, I'm going to show that bird where he's wrong. You know what happened? I got converted by it. I got converted by it. And I was sitting in the audience one day. I'm certain you've heard me say this, but it's worth telling it is to me to think about it. And this preacher painted a picture in my mind. I can still see it today. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and the sweat as it were blood falling from his forehead. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thine. That's when I looked head on into the mirror of the soul. That's when I realized what a jerk I'd been. That's when I realized how I'd only wanted God to do what I wanted him to. I never considered obeying God. I'd considered religion, but it was what I wanted God to do it on my terms. And that's the very passage that opened my eyes, and I've used that passage so many hundreds of times since. And I got to thinking, you know, you're always hearing somebody talk about, with all these sales on the grocery, boy, I sure got a good deal there today. Somebody reduced something 50%. Everybody's looking for a good deal. Well, I'll tell you, if you're not a child of God, you will never have a better deal offered to you than obedience to the gospel of Christ. There's no power in the world can do what it will do for you. It'll take away every sin. And God said, I will remember them no more. And let me tell you something. After going through almost 2.5 years overseas in the war, in World War II, I had an abundance of stuff piled up in my life that was unimaginable. If you've never been in a real live war, you cannot believe the horrible things that go on. And we were participating in it. I could have never found any power in the world would have taken that and cleansed it from my life other than obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You talk about a deal. You talk about a deal. You'll not find a better deal than that. And it's very simple. Very simple. Obeying the gospel of Christ is very simple. All you have to do is hear the truth, believe the truth, repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, then being buried in the watery grave of baptism to arise to walk in the newness of life as a new creature. All the past sins taken away, all those terrible things you lived in, God has not only forgiven you, he has wiped the slate clean. You're as pure as a little child. And yet people rebuff God all the time. Don't want it. Don't want it. Now we're going to read on. Paul said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. This is in 1 Corinthians 1:18-25. We'll bring to nothing the understanding of prudence. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom God made the world, but wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What beautiful passages of Scripture. But those people who substitute their own wisdom for the word of the Lord have always erred, and they can continue to do it. They continue to do it. And to make sure that we follow that which is right, it's not because a great numbers of people believe it or practice it. I've heard people always come back to me and say, well, how can all of these millions of people be wrong? It's not difficult to believe it. You can go through Bible history and find the millions is wrong over and over and over. You have never heard or read the majority of people standing for God. A few. Was. When the apostles were here on earth and they were going forth and preaching the gospel of Christ, it was under the threat of death everywhere they went. And then some people would obey the gospel of Christ, and the Sanhedrin would take those people in and make examples out of them, or the Romans would and kill them. And the years the apostle Paul spent preaching the gospel and going through all the hardships that he did. And the payoff was in Rome. They took him outside the city and cut his head off. was a payoff there. But it wasn't in the payoff in the life hereafter. In the life hereafter. Because Paul preached the gospel wherever he went. They threatened him. They beat him. They did everything imaginable to him. But he kept preaching it. And also he said over in 2 Timothy, the last few verses of the book, when this tragic thing, I understand according to history, came to pass, it come to the point in Rome that nobody stood with him. He said, only God stood with me. Only God stood with me. Wouldn't that be terrible? To die after you'd done all that he had. And he said only God was with him. All of his companions left him when the chips was down. But he never flinched. He never gave in. And I've heard people that said there can't be anything wrong with all of these things because people's following it. You know, people want to change everything, the church, to the modern day culture that we're living in. Like going to service in the Lord's church with skimpy shorts on and all of this kind of thing. And I've seen some members of the church do this, I'm sorry to say. Change because the culture changed. We never found anything in the Bible about God's word changing for the culture. Change for the culture. That's the same people that's got the idea and there's a drive on our society today to change the Constitution to fit the culture we're living in. Instead of fitting the people to the Constitution, we need to fit our lives to the oracles of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God or the Word of God. And the Word of God is not that hard to understand. Matthew 7:13-14 said, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The majority of people, what Jesus is saying here, is going to be lost. And I don't have a doubt about that. We just want to make sure we're not in that majority. Make sure that we're not in that majority. We know that when Jesus came, public opinion turned against him. We know that when Noah was building the ark, all the people turned against him. He was definitely in the minority. We find that Abraham was in the minority. You can go back through one leader after another. You'll find the time that Jeremiah got so discouraged, he'd been persecuted so much, he said, I'm not going to preach God anymore. But then the next verse said, no. He couldn't keep from it. He said, the message is in my bones. Well, you go back to the first chapter of Jeremiah. When he was a child, God told him he was going to be a prophet and what he was going to do. And Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. God opened his mouth and put his words in his mouth. Well, we've got the word here. But we're having people now, congregation in the Lord's church. We're seeing an upheaval in the Lord's church right now like we've never seen. They're going over to the musical instrument. And they're going over taking the name of Christ off because it offends people. Let me tell you, when he was here on earth, he offended people. The message offends people that don't want to obey it. But we have still got an obligation to preach the gospel of Christ. True Christians was a minority in the first century. Why should we expect it to be any different today? It's probably worse today than it was then. But just a few more minutes, I haven't got rid of near what I intended to talk. But God's way is the only way to know a thing is right. If you come up with some idea or I come up with some idea that really sounds good to me and it violates the scripture, I'd better chunk it. I'd better get rid of it. I want to read several passages about God's word and what he expects. You remember when Paul left over in Corinth and he went over to Philippi and he met with the people there and he was preaching the word to them. And there was a remark made about those people in Acts 13 and verse 15. Said, for this people's heart is wax. No, that's not the one I want. That's not the one I want. I want Acts 17, verse 11. Says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, Paul, you remember Paul's preaching was always, this is according to the scriptures. Jesus teaching, this is according to the scriptures. It's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And everything is coming to pass. Paul said, this is according to what the prophets said. And these people listened to it, and they searched the Old Testament scriptures to see if Paul was teaching the truth. And that was why he said it was a very noble thing. They did not go by their feelings. They didn't try to see if it coincided with their own wisdom. They didn't count noses to see how many would accept it or ask what kind of people were embracing this doctrine. They simply consulted the Word of God to see if it was the truth. And that's what I'm telling you. Any scripture I've used tonight, if you want a list of them, I can give you a list of them. And check it for yourself and read it for yourself and let God talk directly to you through His Word. I'm simply a messenger. And if I am found misusing any scripture, I will publicly apologize for it, because that's the last thing I want to do. I want you to listen to some passages now. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God. 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119:128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That was God talking. Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. No light in them. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, ye shall not add unto this the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish off from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord and your God, which I commanded you. Now this was before the children of Israel was going in to take possession of the promised land. All the time when they were going to do something God don't do, God said, now if you'll do it according to my commandments and my statutes, you'll be successful. But if you don't, you're going to lose. If you don't, you're going to lose. And then the book of Revelation 22 and verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away the part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He would take away everything. If we change it, then God is no longer in the equation. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to show thyself approved of God, a word and need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing word of truth. Don't misuse it. Use it. Jesus said, John 8, verse 32, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My, how powerful the truth, the word of God is. If we would let it control our lives. But if you have not allowed the word of God to penetrate your mind, to the point that you'd obey the gospel of Christ, then why would you wait? In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you, and you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The question then, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, a question that everyone should be ready to answer real quick. Which place had you rather go when you die? Heaven or hell? Now that is a question that is very necessary for all of us. If we want to go to heaven instead of hell, we'd better live faithful as children of God. If we never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we'd better obey it if we want to go to heaven and not to hell. It's up to each one of us to make that decision. And it's up to you here if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ that we stand and sing the invitation that we've just been selected.
If you want